Good evening, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown in Shenzhen, China, for another China Rising Radio Sinoland interview. And I am very proud to have and honored to have on the show tonight, Diana Johnstone. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Diana is a political commentator and author, and her latest book is actually her father's book, with her commentary, From Mad to Madness, mad being mutually assured destruction, From Mad to Madness, Inside Nuclear War Planning by Paul H. Johnstone. And I will put all of this stuff up on the article in my column. She has previously written Fool's Crusade, Yugoslavia, NATO, and Western Delusions in 2002, and Queen of Chaos, about Hillary Clinton in 2016. So we're really pleased to have you. And I take it you live in France, right?
Yes, I do, for a long time.
Okay. What city do you live in?
Paris. I'm okay. In Paris on a noisy street.
All right. Well, that's okay. Well, listen, the reason we have you on tonight is there's been more interest in the French presidential elections this year, inside and outside of France, more so than in a long, long time. And I found out about you. The Greenville Post published a couple of your articles in about the 10 days to 2 weeks before the primary, what would kind of maybe call kind of like the primary, on Sunday, the 23rd, and they were so good and just so on the mark and so revealing. And so I contacted and I said, we've got to get this lady on the show and just kind of let her, tell us about what's going on and why the French elections are important and maybe how they relate to the rest of the West. So, Diana, could you please just give us a quick summary about the French presidential elections, because a lot of people don't know about them, the system and the parties, et cetera, that are involved?
Well, the system is that it's an election in two rounds. The first round was held a couple of days ago on the 23rd of April, and the second round... Well, the first round will choose two finalists who will go on to choose the president at the second round on May the 7th. Now, for the first round, to be qualified as a candidate, you need signatures of 500 mayors. Now, so there's a whole lot of mayors in France. Lots. And there were 11 candidates who got the signatures in order to be official candidates. And four or five of them are considered candidates that could get into the second round. And the others didn't really ever have a chance, but were there to present their viewpoints. That election was held, and of the four leading candidates were pretty close, but it ended up with the two candidates are very that are in the final round are pretty much the opposites, because Emmanuel Macron is somebody who has just been created by mass media and the system. He's really the candidate of the European Union, of NATO, of the United States, of the whole globalization. He's the globalizer. And he has no political experience. He has experience in making a lot of money at the Rothschild Bank. And then his other experience was to design the economic policies of François Hollande's socialist government, which is now in disgrace. And the great irony is, this is really funny, is that the Socialist Party is practically dying, and it came in very low in this election because the Ulan government was so unpopular. But it was unpopular very largely because of the policies that were designed by Emmanuel Macron. And Emmanuel Macron, backed by mass media covers of every magazine, isn't he wonderful? He actually is benefiting this because his backers and he have created this new movement, which is based on how cute he is. And so he is actually running as somebody new and fresh, but he was the very author of the unpopular policies. But everybody is forgetting they're being made to forget about that because he's supposed to be new and the youth and blah, blah, blah. And of course, now he's the opposite candidate is Marine Le Pen, who is a very interesting candidate, who is in fact against the globalization. But of course, she is portrayed mainly because of the reputation of her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, who founded the National Front. We could talk about what that really means later. But anyway, she's changed his policies quite considerably. It's not the same. But the National Front has been used, especially by the socialists, to make itself look more to the left as it is, because they denounce her as extreme right fascist. So the whole political class then gets together to stop her, as if it were a huge danger to the Republic if she should win.
Whereas actually it's Macron with his neoliberal American policies that's the real Trojan horse, that's the real danger for the French people.
Not exactly a Trojan horse because it's already there. He's really representing the whole establishment that people don't want. That's the irony of the situation.
I wanted to ask you, and just to let people know out there, although in the United States, there's, you know, Party A and Party B of the, you know, capitalist Wall Street, you know, business party, war party. There is a lot more choice in France, and there's historically, since World War II, there's been, conservatives on the right, socialists left of center, and then communists, even further left. And so, and these 11 parties, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you, Diana. The left in France is very splintered. And I just wanted to ask you, do you think this is encouraged by the deep state, you talked about governance in your articles. I talk about the deep state, you know, basically the owners, that the elites that run the country. Do you think that they cultivate these small, you know, splinter parties on purpose, just to make sure that some, you know, communist or anti-establishment, you know, candidate on the left doesn't make it into the second round? And the reason I bring that up is because if you take the smaller parties and added up their percentages, it's almost 9%. And if Mélenchon, who was the most feared candidate by the establishment, if he had have gotten even half of that 9%, he would have been in the second round with Macron. Do you think these small parties are used by the elites to dilute the left?
Frankly, no. The French left has had a talent for splintering for a long, long time, and these people basically, don't agree with each other. But you see, my point of my last article is that at this point, the real conflict is not between the left and the right in the old sense, that is to say, economic justice against capitalism. Frankly, capitalism is not a contest at this point. It's which capitalism? There's no serious challenge to capitalism, even from the little so-called ultra-left. They say where they're against capitalism, but they have no program whatsoever. Even, you know, the Trotskyists who will say that they are against capitalism, they're the only ones who say that. They get maybe 2% of the vote. But the fact is they don't have a clue as to how to get rid of capitalism at this point. It's a matter of which capitalism and what other things. And so the real issue now, as that I have mentioned, is between national sovereignty and globalization. Mm-hmm. Because, and here is where you have the split between Macron and Le Pen. He represents globalization, which also means NATO, financial capital taking over everything, neoliberal policies, etc. Marine Le Pen is vaguely on the other side, although, I mean, it's not all that clear, but she's for very saving public services. How she would do this, I don't know. But I mean, her domestic policies are about as much as on the left as anybody else's.
Yeah, her platform is very similar to Mélenchon. They're almost identical. It's incredible.
Exactly. They're very, very similar. And she's come around to that on the grounds of patriotism, you know, saving the country from ruin, which is because at the present, national sovereignty is an issue because France has lost it to the European Union.
And the United States, NATO.
Well, the foreign policy to NATO and the domestic policy to the European Union. Yeah. So the only way that you can have any kind of policy left is to get back some international sovereignty, because the European Union is dictating the economic policies. The economic policies carried out by Macron were, in fact, the ones designed in Brussels. It's the European Union that is making these policies, anti-labor, et cetera, policies. And as long as you stay in the European Union and you stay in NATO, it goes on the same. So the issue that came up in this campaign was that the European Union was challenged by several candidates, by Marine Le Pen, by Mélenchon, Dupont-Aignan, and especially Asselineau, who is his whole deal. So there were several. The really pro-globalization candidates were Macron, but also the Little Socialist Party candidate, ranting against Russia. He had total pro-NATO policy. But that's a socialist party. And Macron is, in fact, a clone of the socialist, of the worst part of the socialist.
Well, Diana, this is what, for the people out there, Mélenchon is considered to be, you know, far left. And I think even the communists endorsed him.
Some of them.
Yeah, some of them. But
far to the right of him, excuse me, the Communist Party is far to the right of Mélenchon.
Yeah, yeah.
The Communist Party has come out with a statement saying we must stop Marine Le Pen because she will bring war. The one who's against war. So I'm sorry, the Communist Party has become nothing but an appendage of the Socialist Party. And as the Socialist Party goes down, the Communist Party goes down with it.
Well, that brings up a good question, because Mélenchon, you know, really surged in the last couple of weeks and came in, what, fourth place? But I mean, the numbers were all right around, you know, 20%.
He did very well because he came up from very, I mean, it was a huge surge, and he drew a great crowd. He's a terrific speaker, which is part of it. And also, he seemed to represent a genuine left when the Socialist Party is discredited and so on. But the Socialist Party wasn't going to give up. The apparatchiks are going to try to keep the party alive. But Mélenchon had left the Socialist Party quite a long time ago and had fought with it precisely on the issue of sovereignty, because he became really well known in 2005 when he was one of the main speakers against the treaty of the Constitutional Treaty of the European Union. Because, in fact, that treaty is what locks France into neoliberal policies. And he saw that and denounced that. And he left the Socialist Party. So he has a consistent policy there of being really what amounts to the left in France today.
What I wanted to ask you is, Mélenchon, even though he's considered left, and Le Pen is considered right, but really it's Macron who's the really far right, you know, neoliberal. But in any case, and Le Pen and Mélenchon have very, very similar platforms, socioeconomic platforms. But exit polls are showing that only 12% of Mélenchon supporters will vote for Le Pen in the second round, and 50% of them will vote for Macron. I mean, that's just like, it's like voting for your own, you know, your own demise. Why? And Mélenchon refuses to endorse Le Pen. Why are he and his followers not recommending to vote for Le Pen, just, you know, to keep Macron from being elected?
It's a little bit complicated here. What is the reason that all these people on the left are going to vote for their worst enemy is because they have been subjected for decades to the idea that the National Front is fascist. And so say we have to save the Republic from fascism. We must get together and vote whoever it is who is against the National Front. Well, first of all, even at its worst, the National Front was not fascist. It was a far-right collection of various groups of, some of them Pétainistes, some of them. Jean-Marie Le Pen actually was never a fascist. He also had a good speaker. The left has needed to demonize somebody to show that they're on the left. Yeah. And by, you see, the definition of being on the left in France, thanks to decades of this propaganda, the definition of being on the left has been to be against Le Pen and against racism, because it's the two. All other issues are forgotten. All other issues don't matter. What matters is saving. Now, there's nothing fascist about a party that's totally electoral, that doesn't have any goons out beating up people. In fact, there are anti-fascists who are the aggressors. There's nothing fascist about it. It's a right-wing party to some extent, but Marine Le Pen has brought it way to the left. But frankly, it would be hard in the United States to find politicians who are to the left of Marine Le Pen.
Yeah.
And, her party has been labeled as extreme right, and it's this fear of a non-existent fictional fascism that will push people to vote for anybody against. But wait a minute. What you say about Mélenchon is complicated, because he doesn't dare endorse Le Pen. He started out as her main enemy a few years ago in politics. And it's actually, if he keeps refusing to endorse Macron, he'll be the only leading politician that hasn't endorsed Macron, because all of the others are endorsing Macron. Mélenchon is different simply because he hasn't endorsed anybody.
Yeah, in fact, he's even started a campaign to ask his followers and everybody to abstain and not vote at all, because the oligarchs are laughing because their two candidates got into the final and blah 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 blah.
No, I know, because I think that's abstention is as far as he dares to go, because the whole media will be down on him. I mean, he'll be another fascist in the media. He doesn't want that.
Yeah.
He wants to come out leading the new version of the left, and he doesn't want to have all the media denouncing him the same way they're denouncing her, which they're quite ready to do.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And you see, the media here are a huge factor, and they are totally pro-American, totally pro-NATO, totally anti-Russian. They have just echoed the whole United States line. And going against them is not very easy in these circumstances. Of course, Marine Le Pen is clearly against them, and they're against her. And I think Mélenchon is playing it a little bit safe in this case.
Oh, maybe with one eye on the future.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you brought up a good point. You know, the press, the propaganda, the Brussels, the foreign policy, the neoliberal, American, you know, policies that just have France and by the throat. I was just wondering, both Mélenchon and Le Pen, they rail against the, you know, what they call the elites and the oligarchs, but they don't name countries. And I was just thinking, just knowing the French, and my wife is French and I have French nationality. In fact, my wife and I both voted Sunday, and I'll go on record as saying we both voted for Mélenchon. We were going to vote for Le Pen, and then we saw his interview on TF1 and how he took a pounding by these two telejournalists, and boy, he was with them. He was with them, stroke by stroke. I mean, he was one step ahead of him. We were so impressed with that interview, that 20-minute interview, that even my very bourgeois wife voted for him on Sunday, and now we're going to go back on the 7th and vote for Le Pen. But anyway, what I want to get at is, I think that if they would both come out and go after America and say that the French are tired of being American, you know, lapdogs and American puppets, and not having any kind of, you know, freedom because of the power that the United States has over France, I think that would create a groundswell of support, and it would also really, you know, expose Macron for what he is, who's, in my opinion, he's a libertarian American stooge. Why don't they do that? Why are they so vague and evasive about not pointing fingers at the United States and Washington?
Well, can I ask how long you've been in China?
14, a total of 14 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, it hasn't changed that much, but it's changed a lot. You realize that the media and the educational system are really propaganda outfits for NATO and globalization and human rights. Human rights. I mean, they teach human rights like a religion in the schools. And one reason you can't name names, well, you see, if you like the small candidate Asselineau and some others will say that they will criticize the fact that the United States is really behind the policies of the EU and so on. They are immediately denounced as conspirators.
Yeah.
I said that there's American influence. A what? American influence? You must be a conspirationist.
Yeah.
Well, there's no such thing. And the whole media will denounce you as a lie, fake news, and there's another thing. There's another you talk about. You can denounce Russia. They're denouncing Russia for interfering in this election, whereas, of course, all of the European governments and the United States have made it clear what side they're on. And, of course, there's one nation that interferes a whole lot that you can never mention, and that's Israel.
Yeah.
Because the Israeli influence is huge through the local lobby, the Kreef, and so on. It really dictates the Middle East policy, but you can't say that because, again, you'll be denounced as a conspirationist, an anti-Semite, et cetera, et cetera. These taboos have become enormously strong in these past 14 years, shall we say. And so the candidates that are trying to get the message across have a really hard time
overcoming all that propaganda.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
yeah.
and especially now, they've taken up this Russian interference business. But that's just echoing the Hillary Clinton campaign in the United States. That if people have voted for anybody but the one we've told them to vote for, it must be because the Russians tricked them into it.
You know, I wanted to ask you, the establishment, you know, the deep state, they didn't seem to be too worried about the elections as long as it was Macron and Le Pen and Fillon. Who was basically a sort of a Macron light, not quite as, you know, as cutthroat neo-libertarian as Macron, but in that same general direction. And then as Mélenchon, you know, this idealistic, fire-breathing, you know, left-wing, you know, principled guy starts surging in the polls, just like days before a week before the election on Sunday, there were these three supposed terrorist acts that happened. Do you think that those were used to stop Mélenchon's rise?
No, not for several reasons. First of all, I don't think people were very impressed by that. I mean, of course, no. I don't think that had any effect at all on the voting.
Okay.
For one thing, I don't think it was either the deep state or Daesh. I think that shooting was an example of a new phenomenon when a hardened criminal. I mean, he's been in and out of jail for several times. He's already shot at policemen before he got religious, and he suddenly ends his ruined life in a spectacular way by giving it some sort of religious interpretation. That's become, you know, a sort of a way to suddenly, you know, you see that with Christianity. You see sometimes that they'll be born again Christians when they've been criminals. But right now, this thing is in the air of you can suddenly go to heaven, maybe, you know, by shooting somebody in Paris. I think this was a criminal act. He had only certainly been religious for about a week or so. I mean, I don't think people take that very seriously. I don't think it had any effect on the election, and I don't think it had anything to do with this thing. I certainly do think that there are a lot of false flags going on, but I don't think that was one of them.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, Diana, in 10 days, it's all going to be decided, and polls are showing Le Pen is going to lose 40% to Macron's 60% on May 7th. What would it take for Marine Le Pen to gain 10% of the more of the votes in the next 10 days?
Well, you know, she's a very smart politician. And I think she'll do whatever she can, but she's up against this demonization thing.
Yeah.
I think it's better if she doesn't, if she plays a little bit on the how unifying she is. But I tell you, I think really she's done a wonderful campaign, given that everybody was against her.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly hope that she can help get across the fact that Macron is an absolute disaster.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for the French people, the working class people, the small, the little guy, you know, the le petit français.
Oh, well, the farmers, you know, the farmers are in terrible shape. They're committing suicide because it's being ruined. I mean, I actually think that she is, I won't say she's not, I think she's a genuine patriot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't. And I think she does care about the country, even though her policies are rather confused. I think, especially under the influence of her number two, Florian Philippot, who comes from the left, and he's become her brains. I mean, she's got brains too, but he's become really the man who's making policy there, is Florian Philippot, who actually comes from the socialist left of Chirinot. So it's very, very far from what her father was, and it's a move in the right direction. But I don't know if she can persuade people of that.
Overcoming a whole generation of demonization and brainwashing, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, Diana, this has been a wonderful interview. I'd like to thank you for taking time to get on the show with me, and it's always nice to. It's always nice to talk to somebody who's, you know, got their feet on the sidewalk, you know, where it's all where it's all happening, and has been there for years, and is willing to look at the situation with a different set of eyes than the, you know, the standard, you know, mainstream media, you know, blather and propaganda. So thank you so much for being on, I can't wait to continue reading your wonderful articles. I think you also write on Counterpunch, don't you?
Yeah, and Global Research and Counterpunch, yeah.
Okay, then I will put those links for Global Research, which is out of Canada, and Counterpunch in the United States, and then, of course, the Greenville Post. I'll put all those links on to connect you to all of the China Rising Radio Sinoland fans across the planet. And thank you so much, and looking forward to you hearing this.
Well, best wishes to China.
Thank you very much. We'll stay in touch.
Good.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.